Yep, he didn't leave. Just checking to make sure our guest speaker's still here, because better him than me, for sure. Our guest speaker today is Caleb Cutter. He's kind of a local boy. He's very well known to Tom and Jane Hopkins, who go up to Kelseyville pretty often and worship there. So he's born and raised in Kelseyville? In Kelseyville. Now he's in Stockton? Where?
Modesto.
Okay. So he said it was an hour and a half drive to Modesto, hour and a half drive to Kelseyville. It's a pretty good spot for you, Caleb. We like that. I've been blessed to hear him preach twice before. Once he preached to us before he went to Bear Valley School of Preaching, and once afterwards. So I don't know how many people remember hearing Caleb preach before. Good. So no expectations. No, we're very, very happy to have him here. He brought his wife, and was there somebody else coming also? Didn't make it. Okay. Well, that's all right. We're very, very happy to have him here. He attended Bear Valley at the same time that Tyler and Kelsey were there, so they're friends also. And youngest in his class, but top of his class. So very happy to have him here. Preach the word, brother.
Morning. It's good to be back here. So there are many things that people in this world do to build their credibility with their peers, right? And the people that they look up to. Most of the time, this is done in showing off. Typically, the credibility that they want is for people to know them as someone who can do something spectacular, right? They want fame. A lot of people want fame, but this kind of credibility is hollow. It may be cool for a lot of people to recognize you for something that you can do well in this life, but what will that matter in the next? It won't at all. Far more important than that kind of credibility is Christian credibility. It is far more meaningful for people to recognize you as just a good Christian than a great baseball player or anything else in this life, because being a Christian helps you not only in this life but in the next life, right? And so when we leave this life, nothing else is going to matter. And also it is important because it impacts other people's lives. Through your own good example, you can inspire others to come to Christ and change their lives for the better, just like you have. So how do you build this kind of credibility? Well, in 2 Corinthians, there were false teachers in the congregation of Corinth, that thought that the way to build this kind of credibility was to have letters of commendation written by respectable people telling of how great they were. You can find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. If you will turn over there. I'll be in 2 Corinthians for the rest of this lesson. But 2 Corinthians, again, chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you?" So these people thought that the way to build up your reputation as a Christian was to have people write about you, right? About how good you were. But Paul did not need these letters of commendation. He knew that was not how you build an actual reputation as a Christian. So how did Paul build his credibility? And how can we do the same? Well, you can find the answer in chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. And looking through these verses, you can find that Christians need three qualities to build credibility. Three different qualities found here in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. So the first quality you need to build up your reputation, your credibility as a Christian, is long-suffering. You need long-suffering. So Paul here claims that he has been long-suffering. If you read, starting in verse 1, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But he says that he has been long-suffering. He says, we have this ministry, and as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Paul writes that he did not give up on his ministry. He did not lose heart. Instead, he was always doing the work of an evangelist. Paul writes of the reason that he does not give up. He says it is because he has this ministry that was given to him, and also because he has received mercy from God. There is no way that Paul could stop preaching the gospel and doing what he was doing because, first of all, he was given such a great opportunity to do the work of the Lord. And second, he felt obligated to do this work because he was given the great gift of eternal life. So Paul shows through his life that he has been long-suffering. If you look at chapter 11, verses 22 through 28, you'll find that Paul has been through so much as a minister. Again, chapter 11, verses 22 through 28, it says, actually, I'll start in 21. To my shame, I must say that we have been weak by comparison, but in whatever respect anyone else is bold, I speak in foolishness. I am just as bold myself. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is also the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. So Paul had experienced so many things in his ministry, right? He experienced heavy labor, imprisonment, beatings, near-death experiences, lashings, beatings with rods, stonings, all these things, shipwrecks, all kinds of dangers, hunger and thirst, cold and exposure. But beside those physical things, Paul was also concerned daily. He was concerned daily with the state of the church, and he experienced much emotional suffering, such as, you know, this stress or worry for the soundness of the church and rejection by his close brethren in the Corinthian church and others. But never once did Paul give up on evangelism or change his message to get out of danger. He boldly spread the word of God no matter what he was facing. And according to chapter 12, verse 9, Paul had the mindset that the weaker he was physically, the more he had to depend on God. Chapter 12, verse 9 reads, "And he," talking about Jesus, "he has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me.'" What a great attitude to have, right, when you're dealing with struggles in your life, that the weaker we are physically, the more we have to depend on God, and the closer it brings us to God. So Paul had this mindset, again, that the weaker he was physically, the more he had to depend on God, and the more dependent he was on God, the stronger he was spiritually. And Paul's long-suffering, his patience through all this, truly did help in building up his credibility. See, Paul was very well known. Nearly everyone who has read or even heard about the Bible probably knows Paul and knows about him. And there's a good reason for that, because Paul is incredibly famous for all the things he did for the spreading of the gospel. He is recognized as a hero of the Bible and someone whose example should be followed. Even Peter, one of the very first of Jesus' apostles, and a huge leader in the early church, recognized Paul as, quote, a beloved brother. You can find that in 2 Peter 3:15. I'll start in 14, actually. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. So he is known widely at the time as a great Christian, and even still to this day, right? Because of his perseverance, because of his long-suffering, because all the things that he had to go through, he never gave up. And the only people talking down on Paul from in the brotherhood were a group of false teachers here in Corinth, in the Corinthian congregation, who were causing a lot of trouble. And 2 Corinthians devotes most of its content to the difference between these evil false teachers and the righteous example that Paul sets of a fantastic godly minister. I want to ask a question. Would Paul have been as well known if he gave up on his ministry? If he just said, oh, this is too hard, I'll just change my message to appease the people, or just give up entirely? And the answer is most definitely not. If Paul did not have the type of long-suffering that he had, he would have just been one more of a large amount of countless Christians, of weak Christians throughout history. But Paul did not give up. His example has inspired countless Christians throughout the years to do the same. Paul was long-suffering, and that gave him credibility as a minister and as a Christian. And just like Paul, our long-suffering will build up our credibility as well. We have to have long-suffering. Through Paul's claim of long-suffering, we are obligated to do the same. In chapter 4, in verse 1, again in 2 Corinthians, he says that we have this ministry and that we have received this mercy, therefore we don't lose heart. And in the context, he is referring to himself and Timothy. But we can very well include ourselves into this context, because we have been given a ministry and we have been given mercy, just like Paul and Timothy. So we have been given a ministry, right? Some of us are not preachers and never will be in our lives, and that's okay. Everyone has a different role in the church. Most Christians don't have a specific title where they are obligated by their congregation to minister formally. However, Matthew 28, 19, and 20 was given to every single Christian in the world. In that verse, we are called by Christ himself to make disciples. That is our ministry, making disciples. Matthew 28, 19, and 20 reads, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That is the ministry that we have been given, every single one of us, to reach out to people, to make disciples. And everyone can do this in different ways, and that is just fine. Not everyone has the same gifts, but all are useful for the growth of the body of the church. But not only have we been given a ministry, we have also received mercy, because Christ died for the sins of all, and that includes us. We've been shown so much mercy by the Lord, and that same mercy is outstretched to all people. Therefore, we have the obligation to share this great gift of God, because It is the least we could do to try and repay what God has done for us, right? And because people need to hear it, because this offer that has been given to us is given to everyone. And so we have this obligation to not give up, to not lose heart, because we have a ministry, we have a purpose, right? And we also have this obligation because of the mercy we have been shown in our lives. Therefore, you know, we must have long-suffering in our ministries. We must emulate the great Apostle Paul, doing the same thing that he does, and no matter what, don't give up on sharing the gospel. That's what it means to be a Christian. And if we do so, our long-suffering truly will build up our credibility as a Christian. If we, like Paul, never give up in our ministry, but constantly evangelize, no matter what might happen, people will take notice. They will see that. We'll have the reputation of being having a great amount of faith and long-suffering. And this will absolutely help the image of the church. People will look up to you because you are showing attributes of not only Paul, but more importantly, Christ. But if we do give up, we will not be remembered by most people or change that many people's lives for the better. We should strive to change others' lives through making ours a better one. So let's be long-suffering in our individual ministries. That's the first quality that we find here. The second quality here is shamefulness. Christians need shamefulness to build our credibility. Now, stick with me here. Paul had shame. We can see that in chapter 4, verse 2. It says, "But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." He says, we have renounced the things hidden because of shame. Paul writes that he renounced this sin in his life, right? He gave it up because of the shame he had for that sin. Paul says that he was shameful of the sin in his life and the darkness that it brought. And Paul hated the way that he was and that he could not stop sinning. We can see that in Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. Romans chapter 7, verse 15 reads, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate." That is our nature as human beings, right? And that shame that is brought about through sin caused Paul to want to be a better Christian. Paul's shame fueled his desire to become a better Christian, to live more uprightly, and to treat people better. Paul's shamefulness truly did help in building up his credibility. People knew Paul for his shamefulness. Again, everybody knew Paul. He came to be one of the most famous gospel preachers that ever were. And not only in this day and age, but also back then, he was very, very well known. And this is because people saw the way that he lived and acted. He truly acted like a great Christian. And the reason he always acted like a great Christian was because he was shameful of his own sin. He didn't want people to see him as the sinner that he used to be, but as the new man that he was, a Christian. Would Paul have been as well known if he was not shameful? Most definitely not, right? Because if he was not shameful of his sins, he would not have been as strong of a Christian as he was. If he was not shameful, he would not have shown people that Christ-like attitude we all know Paul to have. If Paul was not shameful and therefore did not show a Christ-like attitude, but led a life of sin because he wasn't shameful about it, he would convert nobody and nobody would remember him. He would just be one more weak, half-hearted Christian among the unfortunate many in history. But Paul was shameful, right? Shameful of his past and who he once was. But he had pride in who he became, a Christian. And if we live the same way, if we have shame for our past, it will encourage us to be better Christians, right? And it will build up our credibility. We must be shameful. Since we are wrapped into the we in this verse in chapter 4, verse 1, because we are wrapped into this because, you know, we have been given a ministry and mercy, just like Paul and Timothy, this part of Paul's example is binding on our lives as well, right? We must be shameful of our sins. Sin is a shameful, disgraceful thing that brings us farther away from God, right? And we need to treat it like that. If it brought shame to one of the greatest men in the Bible, it should definitely bring us shame as well. The bottom line is that we should know that we need to be doing better than we are. And we need to have a desire to be better and a realization of how sinful we truly are. And our shamefulness truly will help in building up our credibility, our reputation as a Christian. If we, like Paul, show this shame of our imperfect selves, as well as a striving to do better, people will see our true character. And that's really the key, right? To show shame for our past, but to also, and to recognize that nobody's perfect, but to show a striving to do better, right? People will see our true character. They will see us as Christians. They will see that we truly are a Christian and strive to act like one the best that we can. And people will begin to count on the fact that you will act like a Christian, no matter the circumstances. And if we don't show this shamefulness of our sinful nature, and instead keep an ongoing sin problem in our life, people will notice and they will see us as hypocrites, right? So let's be shameful of the sin in our lives and show an effort to change. The third and final attribute that we find here, the third characteristic we find here in chapter 4, verse 2, is truthfulness. Christians need to be truthful to build up their reputation, to build up their credibility, right? Paul claims that he has been truthful. In chapter 4, verse 2, he says, you know, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So he's been truthful, right? He says he has not been walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God. Paul, unlike the other false teachers in the Corinthian church at the time, he was truthful in his teaching and in his preaching. Paul did not try to deceive anyone in any way, nor did he try to change the word of God in any way. Nor did he get his doctrine from anywhere but inside this book. He strived to be 100% truthful. We can know that what is written in Scripture is 100% truth. So Paul shows that he has been truthful in his life, right? In every one of Paul's letters, he is brutally honest with his audience. He does not try to divert their attention from the teachings of God or try to change it so that it would be easier to tell them, easier on them. Instead, he wrote the people exactly what God wanted to tell them. And sometimes this was hard on him and hard on his audience to read. But he did it nonetheless. For example, do you think it was very easy for Paul to tell the Corinthians that they needed to disfellowship one of their beloved brethren because of his ongoing sin problem in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 5? If you look at this, 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5, it says, "It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind as does not even exist among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this, as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you, in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What a hard thing to write. He has to tell this congregation that obviously he's very fond of, that what one of the members of the church is doing is wrong. And everybody knows it, but they're letting it go, right? And he has to tell them to disfellowship him. And there are other instances like this of Paul giving the honest truth to people. He taught the truth no matter what. And if that hurt your feelings, that's the way it was, because that's what you needed to hear. See, Paul's truthfulness really did help in building up his credibility, because people knew Paul for his truthfulness. They knew that he was going to shoot straight with you, you know? All early Christians immediately accepted Paul's writings as scripture. We can find this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. All of the early Christians, again, as soon as Paul wrote something, they immediately accepted it as scripture. 2 Peter 3:15, it reads, "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless." We read this earlier, right? "And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you." Just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given you, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. So Peter here, one of the great leaders of the church, is calling Paul's scriptures, one, hard to understand, but also scripture. They are included with the rest of the scriptures. And so people knew that if it was from Paul, it was the truth. It is what God wanted people to hear. It was scripture. They knew that he was a man of God. They knew that he had God with him and that they could trust in him. But beyond his teaching, I'm sure that all people around Paul trusted him because of his truthfulness, not only in writing, but in speech. He didn't lie because he knew that was a sin, right? And he put that sin away from his life just like he did the rest of his sins. He was truthful, and people recognized this. And would Paul have been as well known if he was not as truthful? Most definitely not. Because nobody likes habitual liars or false teachers, right? If Paul was not truthful, but instead told lies all the time and taught false teachings, no one would remember him. There would be no reason to mention him, his name in Scripture, except if another apostle or prophet wrote condemning him. But that obviously didn't happen, right? Paul was truthful, and that helped build his credibility as a Christian. And if we do the same, our truthfulness will build up our credibility, our reputation as a Christian. We must be truthful. Again, since we are wrapped up into the "we" in these verses, because we have been given a ministry and a mercy, just like Paul and Timothy, this part of Paul's example is binding on our lives as well. We must be truthful in all things that we do. We must not walk in craftiness. We must strive to tell people the truth in our everyday lives. We must make an effort to never deceive anyone. This especially applies when we are sharing the gospel. We must be especially careful not to, quote, adulterate the word of God. Being Christians, we have to be truthful. We have to show that attribute of Christ because, you know, our truthfulness really will help in building our credibility. Now, not only is this a command given to us to not lie, but also it builds up our reputation. If we make an effort to tell the truth to everyone in our lives and not walk in craftiness and deceit, people are going to notice. People will begin to trust you. They'll see that we are different from most people in the world. And that's how it should be, right? People who tell the truth all the time are highly respected by most people. After all, no one would put their trust into someone who lies to them. No one truly wants someone who is a habitual liar in their life in any way. People will recognize our truthfulness, and we will come to be known for being truthful. So let's be truthful. We want to be credible, right? We want people to be able to recognize us for something. We can do that through being able to do something incredible, like a sport, or a musical talent, or even just being a good person. But we should really focus more on the evangelistic aspect of this, right? We should want to be credible as a good person, not for our own sake, but for the sake of the church's name, for God's name, and the sake of the possible conversion through people seeing your great character, which they will if you show it. And we can obtain this remarkable credibility not through having letters of commendation written to us like some of the Corinthians believed, but through being long-suffering, through being shameful of our sins, and by being truthful. And so I urge you to take Paul's example to heart. Go home and meditate on this passage on your own time, and think about what you can change in your life to be more like this great example here. I urge you to be long-suffering, be shameful, be truthful. And if you have any other needs, would you come forward as we stand and sing?